Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
So Jalen Hurts gets a new weapon in A.J. Brown, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. They also get new weapons with some rookie wide receivers being drafted in the second round. How does that shake up the rankings? Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson loses Marquise Brown. Where did he fall to? He was, I believe, number 2 for both of you going into the draft. Is that correct?
No.
No. Oh, sorry, I can do the wrong.
He was 4 for me, and he is falling down from there.
He was 4?
All the way from 4... to 5. He is now 5.
Okay. Well, he's a faller. He was 2 for you, Jamie?
Yeah, now he's 4.
Okay. I think he was 2 for Heath. Since Heath's not here, I'm just going to go ahead and confirm in my mind that he was. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give you some cool stats. Here we go. Cool quarterback stats, or they're kind of wide receiver stats. Jalen Hurts surprised me. He was 6th in the NFL in yak per completion, yards after catch per completion. So he really benefited from yards after catch. He gets, though, the yak monster, A.J. Brown, in 3 seasons, A.J. Brown, if you look at a minimum of 50 catches, he's been first, and last year was disappointing. He was 30th in yak per catch, yards after catch per catch, but 2 years in a row, he was number 1. He has incredible big play potential, so that's one cool stat. Here's number 2. Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown have combined for 55% of the touchdown catches since 2019 for Baltimore. So that's a big loss for Lamar Jackson just in terms of reliable.
Or a big gain for Rashad Bateman.
Or a big gain for Rashad Bateman, exactly. And then these last 2 stats, Aaron Rodgers, 6 games in 2019 and 2020 without Devontae Adams. He scored 31 or more fantasy points in 4 of 6 games in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues, 22 or more in 5 of 6 games, but he was a beast. And then you look at Mahomes without Tyreek Hill, the first 5 games of 2019, he was on pace for 6,225 yards and 37 touchdowns without an interception. So those guys really excelled without their best weapons.
Who needs receivers?
Who needs them?
What does the league know?
Jalen Hurts needs All right, so I'll find out what
stuff
means.
What does the Titans think?
What does that mean to you? Anything there?
Those quarterbacks are pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, so you have not penalized Mahomes, really. He's number 2.
Well, Mahomes has gotten guys. Rodgers has just lost guys.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, at least the Chiefs are like, okay, you know what? We'll put some Band-Aids here and there, potentially, you know, to replace Tyreek Hill. The Packers are like, yeah.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry. We got Lazard, right? We're good.
They got Watson. They got Christian Watson. They got Sammy Watkins and Christian Watson.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, that's okay. I'll tell you what. If Sammy Watkins can get back to Sammy Watkins' peak level, then sure.
Okay, well, this is what I kind of tried to press you on yesterday, Jamie, when we recorded FFT and 5. You had Mahomes 4th and moving up to 2nd, right, after the draft?
5th and moving up to 2nd.
5th to 2nd. Okay, I'll get it right one of these days.
Nice.
You didn't really move Rodgers with the addition of Watson.
No, well, part of it was Jackson falling.
That's only 1/3 of the part.
Right now, I dropped Brady because I want to see when Chris Godwin's back. So I can't sit here and say this guy's got this and this guy's got that and this guy, until we know that Godwin's back. Plus, he doesn't have Gronk right now. So there's only so much Mike Evans and Russell Gage and Rashad Perryman can give him. So again, as I told you yesterday, I think like 1 through 10. Or 2 through 10 in my mind, because I think Josh Allen's on a different level than everybody right now. 2 through 10, you can mix up and say this is the best fantasy quarterback, and I would sure I can see the points for it. I do think, though, that, as I told you yesterday, Rodgers losing Adams and not getting back anything of potential significance aside from Christian Watson right now, which is a rookie from a non-FBS school that we have to see him still produce. And the second round receivers that the Packers have drafted have been awesome, but they haven't been awesome as rookies. And so, you know, Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, there's one more I'm missing in there.
Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb, you know, who's still there. you know, these players have been great for Rodgers, but it's taken some time. And so, you know, I hope it happens quickly. I hope that Christian Watson steps in and can become a star. But I do think that even with the numbers that you gave and the small sample size of what he did without Devontae Adams, I still think he's the number one quarterback. But I think there's about 18 of those guys. And so he's near the bottom of that for me.
And you don't include him in that group of they could
10. No,
2 to 10 where they could finish him. Okay, no. Dave, so how about you? Did you also move up Mahomes but not Rodgers?
Mahomes was always 2 for me because I figured that the Chiefs would throw something at their passing game to try and make up for the loss of Tyreek Hill. And so they did what a fantasy manager would do when they only take like one wide receiver with their first 9 picks and they look at their roster and it's round 10 and they go, oh crap, I need some wide receivers. And they just start throwing darts at wide receivers. They got to find people. So they threw the dart at MVS. They've thrown the dart at Sky Moore. They're going to keep Mecole Hardman. They're hoping that one of those three, or over the course of the season, each of those three have a chance to go in and play to a semblance of the level of the deep threat and maybe even the intermediate threat that Tyreek Hill gave them. And I kind of like Sky Moore, the best of the group, to be honest with you. We've seen what we've seen from Mecole Hardman. He's been inconsistent. MVS on Green Bay, it's hard to imagine they're going to turn on the light on MVS and he's going to be a better receiver in Kansas City. I think Sky Moore's got a chance to really contribute in that type of a role on top of being, I guess, like a slot type of player for Kansas City. Not that they're going to put him in the slot all the time, because if they're doing that, that means Juju's playing outside. And I don't know if that's what their intention is with Juju. We're going to have to wait and see. But I think that there are enough targets to go around in that offense where Mahomes, worst case scenario, doesn't throw deep as often as he has in the past, but does get a lot of completions, does get a lot of first downs, continues to use his legs. They react. This is their reaction to the teams playing cover two against them and daring them to run. They're saying, well, we might still run, but now we can also throw shorter and intermediate passes to players who can make a play after the catch. That's something that I think Sky Moore can really benefit from. So I'm good with Patrick Mahomes at 2. And the lack of respect for Samori Toure and Romeo Doubs in the Green Bay passing game on this podcast, I will not stand for it. But the Packers might. I don't know how much they'll be able to contribute. I do like Dubs. We talked about that on Sunday's show, Adam. But I think the Packers' philosophy is pretty clear. They've got receivers who have some talent. I listened to Matt LaFleur's press conference after the draft, and one of the things that he really likes about all of his receivers is that they're fast. He thinks all three will be quick learners. And in the case of Watson, they like his blocking skills. Maybe that's a little tip for where Green Bay intends to go if those receivers can't step up and be immediate impact players in Green Bay. And that's why I know we're talking quarterbacks, but that's why Aaron Jones made a jump in my rankings, because now I figure they've got no choice but to lean on that run game, which is very, very good.
Oh, and I think he's second on the team in targets every year to begin with. He might be first. No, I don't think he'll be first.
Yeah, AJ Dillon could have a big year too.
Yeah, but Aaron Jones, his pass catching potential could be through the roof for sure. Yep. All right, I'm certainly not advocating for Rodgers to be ranked where Mahomes is, but I'm going to ask you guys a little bit later why he's not even in your top 12 when he's won back-to-back MVPs, and you know. I don't know how.
I mean, I think you know what our answer is going to be.
I know, but he's so good. He's so good, and he's even if he had Devontae Adams, he's not going to throw for as many yards, and he's not going to run for as many yards as Mahomes and all those guys. But his touchdown,
interception rate
is always like through the roof.
Say that again, Adam.
His touchdown to interception rate is always through the roof. He's just quite simply a better quarterback. And so many guys that are ranked ahead of him. I know this is a fantasy show, but that's the case for him. The case for him is that he is just
awesome.
The best.
I mean,
yes.
Like,
doesn't turn
like
it
I
over.
Said, he's he's got the potential to still be a top five quarterback. I wouldn't put that against him. But I just look at what this offense looks like right now and what the landscape is for the other quarterbacks around him. You know, it's hard to, for me, you know, and certainly I'm not going to expect anything less than a lot of criticism for the way I have it ranked. But to have Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins ahead of him. I love the offense in Minnesota and what they're expected to do. I think you've heard me say that time and time again, you know, since Kevin O'Connell's been hired. And then Derek Carr, look, he's had very successful seasons, but he just hasn't had those peak numbers that we've been, you know, hoping for. And I'm expecting now with his receiving core getting Davante Adams that that's going to be the case, especially with a new coach and the division that they're in. You know, I mean, this AFC West has a chance to just be so explosive. Yeah. So I think there's just more upside with those two in particular than there is with Rodgers. And look, Rodgers has always been, obviously, one of the best quarterbacks in football. But you go back to the year before LaFleur got there, and his numbers weren't great, you know. And so he still had a good touchdown interception ratio. He still threw for, you know, plenty of production. He just wasn't a top tier fantasy quarterback. And I can see that happening again, you know, where he's still one of the best quarterbacks in football, still has, you know, great production, still in the MVP race, but just doesn't put up the type of fantasy production that we look for. So he'll be probably closer to 12 than where I have him ranked. But I just think there's more upside with those other guys. I'm always going to look for a ceiling at that position.
Yeah, I think it was LaFleur's first year and the year before that where Rodgers only threw 25, 26 touchdowns and he was more like, you know, number nine quarterback. I don't know exactly what he was per game. He was, I have it here. He was 14th per game 1 year. He was 9th per game 1 year. 12, and that was in 4 points. 6 points, he was 11th and 12th per game in those two seasons. And that was,
I feel like that's the type of guy we're getting this season.
Right. Right. All right. So let's move on. We'll get back to the quarterbacks in just a bit. We do have some pretty big news today with Atlanta releasing Mike Davis, a report about still a little speculation on the Jets backfield and some more stuff about some of the rookies coming in. But we've got a live mock draft tomorrow. That's Tuesday, May 3rd at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's on YouTube. If you want to watch it, it's live, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Tuesday, May 3rd at 1 p.m. Follow along with our picks. So it's going to be good. You'll be able to see the draft board. It'll be a good viewing experience. And if you can't catch it live at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, you can always catch it on demand at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Someone asked in the chat, have we announced?
We also have on Wednesday at 4 p.m. on HQ, a draft recap show that we'll be doing as well. So 4 p.m. Eastern, CBS Sports HQ.
Okay, great. Someone also asked if we had announced the Podcast League winners. And no. Because we have, I think, a three-way tie.
Oh, we had another guy win the contest over the weekend, too.
What contest?
The one that I tweeted out.
Oh, what, the Mr. Irrelevant thing?
Yeah, you got it right.
Fake contest.
No, he gets a spot in the Listener League.
He does not get a spot. You already gave away the spot in the Listener League. He doesn't get anything.
No, the spot in the Listener League. No, the spot I gave away is in this league.
It's not happening. Sorry to Mr. Purdy.
I'll use the bet I won. To give that guy the spot.
I'm going to determine which spots you give and which spots
Adam. Ruling with an iron fist.
You won the bet, and we already decided who the person who was getting the spot was.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
I get one in the Listener League and then one in the other one.
That's not how. It's never how it worked.
Well, I got two, so you're good.
Well, we're trying to figure out a way to break the three-way tie. So when we figure that out, I'll let you know who's in the listeners league. But the most correct answers was 7. 3 people got 7 of the 10 picks correct. Well done. News and notes. Connor Hughes of The Athletic thinks the Jets could use Breece Hall and Michael Carter as a 1-2 punch, Dave. Buy it?
Yeah. That's going to be what happens. I know that no one wants to hear that. And you'd think that trading up for Breece Hall means, oh, they're going to be all in on Breece Hall. And that's a possibility. But the 49ers coaching staff came from San Francisco. They think like the 49ers think. They like to use multiple running backs. The case against it is that the Jets last year, 2021, 4 games where one running back had at least 15 carries. 3 of them were by Carter. 6 games where at least one running back had 15 or more touches. That includes, obviously, the receptions, 4 by Carter, 2 by Tevin Coleman. You could easily say that Breece Hall is better than all of these running backs and that he could go in and command more touches. So I went back to 2020 when these coaches in New York were with the 49ers, so they saw how the run game worked. How many games with 15-plus carries for the 49ers in 2020? There were eight. Four of them by Jeff Wilson, three by Mostert, one by McKinnon. There were 14 games, and there were some games where the running backs both had 15 touches. 14 games where a running back had at least 15 touches. So if you put the number at 15 touches for Breece Hall, I feel pretty good about that. I think he can get you 15 touches on an almost weekly basis. And I started digging some numbers into Zach Wilson and how often he threw to running backs. I'll lay it out here right now. Last year, 5.4 targets per game to running backs. That ranked 22nd. Ugh. 2020 in college, 4.3 targets per game to running backs. 2019, 3.4 targets to running backs per game. Ugh. So at least he's making a step forward each year, but it's got to be hammered into his head. You got to lean on Breece Hall and Carter in the passing game. Look at what Carter did last year. Implement that in the game, and the Jets offense should be even better for it. If they do that, then Breece Hall will be an amazing player in PPR. He'll get a bunch of catches, but Wilson has to come through from that, and he can't just chuck it downfield. Remember, they also got Garrett Wilson, so they're going to be interested in getting him involved in the offense. It's going to be fascinating to see. I think we'll learn a lot once training camp gets into high gear in August.
How many of those 49ers running backs were high draft picks?
Well, I mean, the 49ers running backs have almost never been high draft picks.
Right. So this commitment is obviously much different than what the 49ers did during the time that this coaching staff was there. And so, you know, you also have to wonder, LaFleur comes from Shanahan's system, but does he also incorporate maybe something of what his brother did? You know, now that they have maybe a little bit of a different player back there. High second round pick versus a fourth round pick, you know, the commitment to Breece Hall, a little bit different than the commitment to Michael Carter. You wonder how much Carter's playing time just gets completely just chopped down to, I hope not nothing, but could be nothing. I mean, you know, it could just be extremely minimal. Breece Hall landed in a pretty good spot, you know, so we'll see what happens. Not the most ideal spot, but you know, this offensive line's trending in the right direction. This offense obviously trending in the right direction. If Zach Wilson's good, they're going to score a lot of points. It's a big if, but
you know, ooh, I hope so.
See them get there.
So my reaction to what you just said, Jamie, is if Mike LaFleur is going to go off of what Matt LaFleur did, Matt LaFleur drafted AJ Dillon with a second round pick 2 years ago, and Dillon has been the clear number two, the occasional 1B late last year to Aaron Jones, who was a fifth round.
Yeah, but they didn't have an established guy like this.
Let me just throw this out there. I think we overthink it with this coaching philosophy stuff. It's about players. We went through this whole exercise with the Eagles. Doug Peterson doesn't want a number one running back. No, when he actually had a number one running back, he used the guy like that. Look at Elijah Mitchell's carries. Elijah Mitchell had like five games of more than 20 carries. He was an absolute workhorse. And look at what they did with Raheem Mostert before Mostert got hurt in 2020. I think it was clear that they were using him as,
they always want a guy. 100%.
So I think if Breece Hall is good enough, he'll do it. And if you look at round two running backs, I've gone back like 6-7 years and looked at all the running backs drafted in round two. Most of them don't start out of the gate getting big work, but a lot of them do early in the season. Like Joe Mixon, I think it was like week three it started. So if he's good enough to just win that job, I think he will. But Michael Carter's not bad. Michael Carter had a really, really good season. The advanced metrics are great on Michael Carter. He's an accomplished running back coming out of college. And that's the problem here. He doesn't have to just beat out some old veteran. Right? He has to beat out a good player. But I don't know, man. I'm not so into the personally. It's just a philosophy thing. I'm not so into the this guy came from this team.
I'm with you. I was just giving a counter to what they said. You know that it's not necessarily tried and true. I'm with you. I think it's more, you know, when they have guys, they use guys.
And I think you feel that way too, Dave. When they have guys, they use guys.
Yeah, of course I do. But Breece Hall has to prove it first.
Yes, exactly.
That's why I said we need to wait training camp in August to see.
We see situations like this. When they drafted A.J. Dillon, at the time, Aaron Jones was still, I believe, didn't sign his contract yet, and then signed the contract extension in training camp that same year. So, you know, who knows if they were considering moving on at that point from the Packers. But in any event, they're telling us something about Michael Carter. You know, I mean,
that's true.
For a guy that, as you said, Adam, played well last year, you know, maybe they don't feel like he's the workhorse that they want or the type of guy that they want. And so, you know, you asked this question, I think, of me and Heath. When does he get 15 carries? I'd be surprised if it's not week one. And the Joe Mixon comparison, from a draft capital standpoint, if Mixon didn't have the off-field stuff in college, he would have been a first-round pick. And Breece Hall, the Jets said they wanted to trade back into the first round to get him. You know, so these are first round caliber players.
Right. Worst case scenario would be the Broncos last year, where Melvin Gordon was just too good to lose playing time, you know? So it might be more about
that's Michael also Carter. An example of a coaching staff instilling their philosophy, because Javonte was good and Melvin was good, and they stuck to what they said before the season all year long. And we even said on this podcast, oh, they're saying right now it's going to be 50-50, but Javonte will eventually step up and he'll be the 60-40 guy or even better than that. And he never really did. And all season long, and the end of year numbers tell us that it was exactly 50-50. That's coaching philosophy. And so while I agree that if Breece Hall proves it, he's going to be the runaway guy in this offense, and he's going to be worth the third round pick that it'll take to get him in fantasy. But he's got to prove it first, and the coaching staff is still going to use Michael Carter to some degree. That's the idea of the 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Connor Hughes that said that. It was all over New York media. So it's out there that they're going to use multiple guys. I just think that Breece Hall is going to have the high value touches ahead of Michael Carter. Think about who you use in short yardage. Think about who's going to play on passing downs. I know Carter can do those things. We saw it in college. We saw it last year. Hall's going to be the one, as long as he's healthy, he's going to have those roles. So it's easy to take him way ahead of Carter. And I also think he's going to have plenty of value for fantasy. It's just how is the philosophy of him being in a 1-2 punch capping his upside of being a top 12 running back on a PPR per game basis? That's the real question.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. Also, Scott Fish with a comment. Scott Fish is joining us for the live mock draft on Tuesday. I want to thank Jamie for letting me give 3 listener league spots away to some buddies. Appreciate you, Jamie. I wasn't aware of this. I must have lost 3 more bets without even knowing.
I think what we're heading toward is Jamie having his own league.
Yeah, I know, right?
And then that's Jamie can give away 16 spots or whatever, and he's going to have this league with everybody, you know, the chosen ones league.
All right, so the Falcons released Mike Davis, who did have 138 carries last year. First 5 games of the year, he had 15, 9, 12, 13, and 13 carries. And then I think they just said, I think we're not going to use you as much, guy. And he only had double-digit carries one more time rest of season. But, you know, Jamie, what does this mean from a fantasy standpoint for the Falcons and Tyler Algier? Did I get that right? I'm like going off the top of my head here, forgetting all the rookies.
Algier. Yeah.
Tyler Algier out of BYU going to the Falcons, and, of course, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull somebody else off scrap heap somewhere, you know, before we get to training camp or even the start of training camp when somebody's released. Look, it's great for Cordarrelle Patterson. You know, he was their guy last year and hopefully can hold up for a full season. It's obviously great for Tyler Algier to step into a situation where there's available touches and carries. And so, you know, we'll see what this depth chart looks like before the start of the season. But, I mean, Mike Davis to me was kind of an afterthought to begin with. So I don't know how much exactly is going to change from a when you're drafting Patterson or when you're drafting Algier.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow during our mock draft. The Bears released Nick Foles. Saints expected to sign safety Tyrann Mathieu. Saints actually lost 2 safeties in free agency, so they could use the help there. The Eagles expect rookie linebacker N'Kobe Dean to be a full participant for OTAs. And that's a big deal because this is a guy who has first round talent, had an injury, one of those play, you know,
a lot of injuries.
If you don't like the Eagles, I can tell you from experience, you were not happy when they drafted N'Kobe Dean in the 3rd round. It just feels like could be.
But that's your Eagles fan, though.
It depends. We'll see. We'll see. Right
no,
now,
because Devontae Smith isn't the number one anymore, so Adam is giving him up.
Right now, I'm a Giants fan, but things will change a lot month by month. let's see what else. Kenny Pickett could start week 1 for the Steelers. Tyler Smith was the Cowboys' first round draft pick. Looks like he's going to play left guard for them this year. And James White, unlikely to participate in OTAs. He had the hip injury last year, still not healthy.
It's okay. They drafted 5 other running backs.
Who's their pass catching running back right now?
James White.
He's hurt. Who goes into OTAs as their pass catching running back?
I'm sure they'll work on the young kids. You know, probably Pierre Strong maybe gets an opportunity there. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Stevenson too.
All right. Let's see. It's worth noting. All right. We got to get to the quarterbacks here. We got to talk about Jalen Hurts. Very different in the rankings for each analyst. We're going to do that right after a quick break on Fantasy Football Today. We'll also, during the commercial break, we'll be giving away a spot in the podcast league. Just ask Jamie. We'll be right back on FFT.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Welcome back, folks. All right, I'm going to look at the rankings page.
Three more spots.
I'm not sure if it's updated. For Dave, it is. Jalen Hurts is 13. For Heath, he's fourth. And for Jamie, where'd you settle on Jalen Hurts?
Nine.
So, fake Heath, why'd you have him fourth?
The only thing I can really do with Heath, if I'm going to impersonate him, is say yes and sigh. So,
he said so on Saturday night. Go back and listen.
I know. I just wanted Dave to do his impression. All right, Dave, come on. 13th? 13th?
I like a lot of other quarterbacks better. Adam talked about it. We don't want to hear Adam talk about it. Jamie talked about it earlier. 2 through 10, plenty of quarterbacks with tons of upside. I think there's still downside to Hurts as a passer. Giving him A.J. Brown is outstanding. That'll help. Does it completely change Philadelphia's philosophy? I don't know about completely. It changes it a little bit for sure. They'll throw more this year. I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing in the world for Hurts unless he really works hard this offseason to improve his accuracy and his decision-making and all that good stuff. And that means also if they're throwing more, they're running a little less. That means Hurts doesn't run as much. So I'm kind of safeguarding against that. I'd rather have Derek Carr.
It's an incredibly deep position, just incredibly deep. And
all the more reason to wait.
I know.
Don't tell your nerdy friends who always take quarterbacks early. Let them take quarterbacks early.
I know what I'm saying. It's deep, but, you do run out of guys that have league winning potential, and Jalen Hurts is potentially a 1,000-yard rusher. So Jamie, I think you could say that 9 is lower than I expected maybe for Jalen Hurts, who, like I said, for 7 games he was third in 4 point and 6 in passing in 6 point.
That's factoring in Deshaun Watson ahead of him right now. So a suspension for Watson will move him up one spot. You mentioned I think the first part of the season, right? Or did you say that the other night?
Yeah, I was just saying it now. First 7 games, he was per game third in 4 point and sixth in 6 point.
Yeah, 26.4 fantasy points per game in those first 7 games. And, he in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those, he had 34 more pass attempts. So while his pass attempts were up, his rushing was still up. So, Dave, your point about him rushing less, he still ran to the same amount or at least had the same success running the ball. In those games, I think it was 30 or more rushing yards in almost all of them, and multiple touchdowns in several of them. So he was still a very good runner while he was throwing a lot. I think you just look at what the upside is. You said it, Adam. He's got league winning upside, and so this is a position where if you get a guy that can throw for 4,000 and run for 1,000, we know what that could be. And I think he's got that type of potential in this offense. So, yes, we have to see them change their philosophy. What they did to close the season last year was amazing for them. The way that they ran the ball and the success that they had running the ball and not necessarily putting the pressure on of Jalen Hurts. But, this offense has one of the best trios potentially in football when you factor in Dallas Goedert, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith. And so with the guys that will catch the ball in the backfield, I think they'll involve Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell. They haven't done anything to enhance their backfield, at least as of now. Jordan Howard's not back. For a guy that was successful for them last year, so I think this they're kind of, again, they're telling us the direction that they're heading, the aggressiveness to go get a guy like A.J. Brown. And for what it's worth, Jalen Reagor's still on the roster, even though he scrubbed his social media like most of these guys.
He's not going to be. He'll be gone.
But even if he's gone, it's not a big difference whatsoever.
Of course,
You know, so this guy offense has a chance to be, you know, much more explosive. And AJ Brown, like you said, Adam, is his yards after catch paired with Jalen Hurts, and these guys have a great relationship, according to everything you've seen. You know, should be fun to see. So I think Jalen Hurts has, I'm with Heath, top five potential. I can't draft him as top five quarterback, but he's got top 10 potential. And I'm looking forward to getting him, hopefully at a bargain still.
If you draft Jalen Hurts, do you feel like he could be your only quarterback, or would you draft a backup?
I think if you know your league and everybody in your league takes backups, then you might want to take one just to have one to start the season. But with five bench spots, there's no chance I'm taking a backup quarterback.
Because I know Heath would want to.
There's somebody that you can stash, like if someone gets hurt along the way and you can draft him and stash him on your IR.
I know Heath wouldn't want to hear this, but I'm still not 100% sold that the Eagles are 100% sold on Jalen Hurts. He's the only quarterback in the top 12 in the rankings or top 13 who I could see getting benched. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. They have a good backup in Minshew, and they like he's the only one where the GM had to come out and say, he's our guy, right? There have been questions. I think, Dave, you were kind of alluding to that. He's not the best passer. There have been questions about their commitment to Jalen Hurts. So I guess I just wonder from that perspective if you think
That's not a huge reason why I've got him ranked outside of my top 12. And I think you brought up the idea of top five upside. Name a quarterback that I've got ranked ahead of him that doesn't have top five upside. Now, if he had top one upside, if we could make that case, you think he can throw for over 4,000 yards and run for over 1,000 yards and also combine for 35 touchdowns? Well, that's a guy that's going to be number one.
That's exactly what he did in the first seven games.
Exactly. That was his pace over the first seven games?
Oh, no. His pace was close. 4,100 yards or almost 4,200.
Okay, that's good.
877 rushing yards.
That's close.
36 touchdowns.
Okay, that makes me pause.
Yeah, but that he only did it for seven games, and they weren't that good in those seven games. I think they were 2-5.
Right, but we already said that we know the coaching philosophy has to shift back the other way. They're not going to trade for A.J. Brown and give A.J. Brown $100 million and then have him be a blocker for 40 plays a game. Okay, there might be a game along the way where that happens, but for the most part, they're going to have to alter their philosophy. What's that?
That happened for him in Tennessee.
It did, but this is Philadelphia, and I think Philadelphia, I think they got A.J. Brown not to be a blocker and not to scare defenses to run the football. They could have drafted somebody with that pick if they really wanted to do that. I think that philosophy is going to change. It does shift back to the idea of what they did in those first seven games. That makes me pause a little bit. That makes me a little more excited about Jalen Hurts, and maybe I do have him ranked too low. Maybe I should have him ahead of Derek Carr and Joe Burrow and who else, like Russell Wilson, guys like that. But all these quarterbacks are going to be so great that I don't think I'm really going to be that heartbroken if I miss out on Jalen Hurts, if the alternative is one of the guys that I just named, or even somebody like Matthew Stafford. And I certainly don't agree necessarily with drafting him as the fourth quarterback off the board, because then I feel like you're drafting him way too close to that ceiling.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll change the ranking. Sometimes Heath goes against projections. Maybe he has Hurts projected fourth, but we'll have to ask Heath. All right, let's go to our next rankings dispute here. I don't really know. You guys, your rankings are pretty similar, quite honestly. I was going to talk about Mahomes, but we kind of already did. But I guess if you have him ahead of Justin Herbert, they had very, very similar numbers last year. They had, basically, you look at the pass attempts, the total fantasy points based on yards, because Herbert had more passing yards, but Mahomes had more rushing yards. They look at the touchdown, very similar, and they were separated by about a point per game, but Herbert was better. Why, Jamie, did you move Mahomes ahead of Herbert? That's really the only one we didn't cover, because I know why you moved him ahead of Brady. You want to see what happens with Godwin and the health, and I know why you moved him ahead of Lamar Jackson with the Marquise Brown trade, but why did you move Patrick Mahomes ahead of Justin Herbert after the NFL draft?
Just with the chance of more upside. You know, I don't know if Herbert's reached his ceiling, but he might have, and we certainly have seen what Mahomes' ceiling is. So, again, they're going to be in my top 200 back-to-back, you know, so no real edge one over the other, but I guess historically. I also think a motivated Mahomes is a little bit scarier than a motivated Herbert, no offense. And so, you know, not reaching the pinnacle of where they've been the last couple of years as a team, I think we'll get him a little bit back refocused, you know, plus the new challenge of, can you succeed without Tyreek Hill on the field? Mm-hmm. So I just like Mahomes slightly better after seeing how everything shook out.
And I was prepared to move Herbert ahead of Mahomes if Herbert and the Chargers, it wasn't Herbert and the Chargers, if the Chargers drafted another wide receiver with a day one or day two pick. They didn't do it. In fact, they drafted two running backs and two offensive linemen over the course of the 3 days. So they're obviously very comfortable with what they have as far as pass catchers go. That's great for Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Josh Palmer is back in the sleeper conversation. Took a little hiatus for me in our drafts before the NFL draft because I thought the Chargers had a chance to add somebody. And they did technically add somebody. They brought in Gerald Everett, and that's someone who can make a little bit of a difference at tight end. But I feel like you don't have to reach for Herbert over Mahomes on draft day. I still think Mahomes has enough like power to his name and certainly a little bit more upside in everybody's mind that they'll take him ahead of Herbert. So I don't have to rank Herbert ahead of Mahomes because I don't think it's a slam dunk that he'll get more fantasy points than Mahomes. He could do it. If both of those guys are available at a certain point in the draft where I want to take a quarterback, I'm taking Mahomes. But I also love, love, love the idea of passing on Mahomes or any quarterback at that specific spot, call it round three, round four, round five, and then hoping that Herbert makes it back to me with my next pick.
All right, let's talk about Lamar Jackson here. And I guess my question would be, he's fourth for Jamie, he's fifth for Dave. Losing Marquise Brown, his clearly his best deep threat, why not lower? Why not lower for Lamar Jackson? You'd be moving him behind Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, pending the suspension. Dave, you'd be moving him behind Tom Brady. And this is a 6 point per passing touchdown league. I think there's clearly a case for him to be number two in a 4 point per passing touchdown league. But in a 6 point per passing touchdown league, Dave, can you hear me? I know we're having some issues. You got me?
I got you. I got you.
Okay.
You know, I hear you fine. You don't hear me?
Yes, I do. Okay, so Dave, why not even lower? Why is Lamar Jackson still in your top five after losing Marquise Brown? No. I'm going to get Dave out of the room. We'll see if we can reestablish the connection. Jamie, why is he still number four for you?
Just the potential of him as a rusher. And I think Rashad Bateman's going to be a suitable Marquise Brown replacement. I mean, look, they haven't really had a ton of production from a third guy to help, you know, push Lamar Jackson over the edge. And I think they'll find that guy, whether it's somebody on the roster ready, whoever they bring in. So I'm not worried about that. I think Bateman will be suitable in Marquise Brown's role. And, you know, it's all about what he does as a runner. You know, that is what makes him the elite fantasy quarterback that he is. So we'll see. You know, again, Brady gets Godwin back come week one. He may move ahead of him. You know, I might decide to put Russell Wilson ahead of him because I'm excited about this Broncos offense. So he may slide a few spots before we get to August. But as of right now, I think number four is a safe spot for him.
Lamar Jackson, really 2 years in a row, he's been about eighth or ninth per game. In 2020, he was eighth in 4 point and 10th in 6 point. And then in 2021, he was eighth in 4 point and actually 12th in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. However, you really do have to Azer Stattard here. You have to take away week 14. He threw four passes in that game. If you take away week 14, Lamar Jackson was top five per game. Fourth in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues, fifth in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. And that was with a very low touchdown rate and only two rushing touchdowns. Just a weird year for him. Let's see if Dave can hear me. Dave, can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah, of course I can hear you.
Not really, though, because it's like delayed a little bit. But it was a weird year for Lamar Jackson. You know what? I think the best thing to do is just move on to another one here. Let's finish up on Aaron Rodgers. Jamie, what do you think? Should we talk Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray?
I think we talked Aaron Rodgers enough.
Okay. Yeah, so then let's finish with Kyler Murray. I'll throw it to Dave first. Dave, where did you end up with Kyler Murray as he gets Marquise Brown?
I ultimately think that getting Marquise Brown is very good for Kyler Murray. He's fourth for me in my rankings. He's behind Herbert, ahead of Lamar Jackson, and I'm comfortable taking him. I'd prefer round six, but I know that I'm probably going to have to reach into late round five to get somebody like Kyler Murray. So on top of his ability to run in the red zone, on top of having DeAndre Hopkins as his number one red zone target, he brings in Marquise Brown. And while I'm still not totally comfortable with Marquise Brown as a top, like a number two option in fantasy at wide receiver, I do recognize that he's there to catch deep passes. And one of the things that I plan on diving into is how much better of a situation is it for Marquise Brown to come through on those deep targets in Arizona from Kyler Murray compared to Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. And in the wake of the trade happening, all I could think about was how that Arizona offense, it's just short passes, dinking and dunking. But last year, they really tried to let Kyler Murray throw it out a lot more. There were four wide receivers on the Cardinals who had 20-plus yard targets on at least 20% of their overall target numbers. So 20% of all the targets they got were deep throws. Kyler was top five in, I believe he was top five in both attempts, 20-plus yards downfield, percentage of attempts, 20-plus yards downfield, and definitely top five in adjusted completion rate, 20-plus yards downfield. He was over 50%.
Oh, man. All right, well, there goes Dave again. We had Dave for over 50% of that answer, I think. There he is. Dave's back.
Hi. So in summary, I think that Cliff Kingsbury probably saves his job. Michael Bidwell earns more billions of dollars with the Cardinals, and the state of Arizona shines.
Okay.
They don't win a playoff game, Cliff Kingsbury not surviving.
I know. I'm just being goofy because you couldn't hear half of my stupid answer. But ultimately, it's good, and the Cardinals are telling you what they want to keep doing with their offense, and that's chucking it.
Okay. Yeah, state of Arizona, good for them. I don't know how the Arizona Diamondbacks are doing. I don't think well.
Amazing how much
I, for one, don't even know what the Arizona Diamondbacks are.
I know, it's really a shame. I've just turned my back on the sport. Jamie, anything you want to add? And I would like to give a shout out, by the way, to my Florida Panthers. Okay, getting ready. I am fully on the bandwagon. Cannot wait for the game tomorrow. Number one seed. I think they won the President's Trophy. Is that what? Yeah, the President's Trophy, which means they are the president of hockey now, and they had the most points in the league. Yeah, yeah.
Can you name a player on the Florida Panthers hockey team?
I can name Huberdeau, Barkov, and Bobrovsky, and other...
You're making names up. No, those aren't real names.
They could be. And when I watch them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember him. I know that guy. I think they still have John Van Beesbrook and Ed Jovanovski. And Pavel Bure.
Do they still throw rats on the X?
I hope so. I hope they bring that back. I was a huge fan. You may not believe that, but I was an absolute diehard fan in high school.
Well, you were a kid then. You were like five.
No, I was in high school. For the Pavel Bure era, I was in high school. I was a huge fan. So then I stopped watching, and I can only name three players. But
I can name three Panthers. I can name three Panthers. Moore, Anderson, McCaffrey.
Jamie, anything you want to add about Kyler Murray?
I mean, the only thing is he going to show up? You know, I obviously look at what they did. This draft is clearly to appease him. I mean, you know, to get Marquise Brown and to go draft Trey McBride, you know, they certainly said, we're going to give you weapons, because he was unhappy about all these other guys getting, you know, all these other quarterbacks getting weapons, and he didn't get anything added. He lost one in Christian Kirk. So clearly he has the potential to be the number one quarterback in fantasy. But I just wonder how much this contract situation is going to be a problem once we get to training camp and even beyond, you know, so it would not surprise me if he's a holdout. I know he said all the right things so far, at least publicly, privately to people that are reporting that. But I'm still concerned, because this feels like it could still become a problem.
By the way, I have a comment here I'd like to read in YouTube. It is from Donovan. He said, I've been trying to keep the like button hype alive, or the like button hype train alive. Off-season likes are 67% more valuable than regular season likes. I got that stat from Azer.
Oh, Donovan, wow. You get a spot in the podcast league.
And you have two kids, I see. They both get a spot in the podcast league. How about that? There's the three that we were going to give out. Yes, please go. Hit the like button. It is helpful for us. I've got a few notes on NFL draft classes. Go ahead. Is that Dave or Jamie? Who's getting in there?
That was me. I was just going to say there's going to be more people in Jamie's podcast league than there are in the Scott Fish Bowl.
All right. So, yeah, I looked at some of the draft classes, and nobody remembers every pick that every team made, but a little summary here. Arizona drafted three edge rushers, including two in round three. They are definitely going to need some help there. Atlanta drafted edge rushers in rounds two and three. The Bears defensive
back. They definitely need help. They only had 18 sacks last year.
Yikes. The Bears drafted two defensive backs in round two. They definitely need help there.
Definitely.
The Bengals went defensive back heavy. They drafted a safety in round one and a cornerback in round two. Five of their six picks actually were on defense for the Bengals.
Right. They went so heavy on offensive line in free agency that they didn't want to address it in the draft. They didn't need to.
Right. Detroit. So obviously, you know, they drafted Aiden Hutchinson. You probably remember they drafted Jameson Williams, but then they got another edge rusher early in round two, Josh Pascal. So they really could have a much improved pass rush in 2021. We'll see how Detroit is.
They're building a nice team. Really are.
They really are.
I don't know how nice they are. They like to bite people's knees and whatnot.
But that's just the coach.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be way more competitive. I think they have an outside shot of winning 8 games this year. So they're going to cause trouble for a lot of other teams. The quarterback situation, I think it's interesting that they didn't address it in the draft and that they're okay going this year with Goff.
Houston, the Houston Texans. 5 of their first 6 picks were SEC players, and all of their picks in the first 4 rounds, SEC. Dave, you were wondering how to pronounce the Miami Dolphins wide receiver's name, Eric?
Yes, Eric E.
Eric Ezukama. Eric Ezukama is how we pronounce it. Eric Ezukama. The Vikings did kind of what the Bengals did. They took defensive backs with their first 2 picks, and they were 32nd and 42nd overall. Safety Lewis Seen and cornerback Andrew Booth. And also, Chris Trapasso said that 5th-round running back Ty Chandler out of UNC will, quote, rock in Kevin O'Connell's system. All right, cool.
Oh, I don't think he's wrong. It's just the problem of when does he get the opportunity to do that?
Yeah, too many.
Does he push Madison into a smaller role or make it where Madison shares with Chandler? He's an older rookie, and he didn't break out till his 5th year, but he's a real patient runner, good breakaway speed, good hands out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm. And now back to my joke, too many cooks in the kitchen. Thank you. And Pittsburgh, huge news we didn't get to. Pittsburgh. So they're Pittsburgh, but they're each of their first 2 picks. If you look at their last names, they start with the word pick. I couldn't believe it. Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, first 2 picks for Pittsburgh. And now
good thing they start with a P and not a D.
Now they have 4 pairs of brothers on their teams as they drafted another Hayward. All right. Time for emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. This is from Bradley. Dynasty League, A.J. Brown or T. Higgins? And what else is needed to balance the trade?
That's straight up?
Yeah. Who do you like better in Dynasty?
Brown.
It's Brown. You might be able to get away with Higgins plus a 2nd-round pick in 2023 for Brown.
Okay, that's pretty close, right?
I think it is.
This is from Dave in Flint.
Dave.
Pick 1.1 in my Dynasty League. I need a wide receiver, and I have Kyle Pitts. Do I grab Drake London and go with 2 Falcons or Jameson? Well, you know, he's got 1.1. He can take anybody. So would you take Drake London if you already have Kyle Pitts?
I would trade down.
Yes.
I think somebody's going to want to take Breece Hall first. So if you can try and maybe slide down to 3, certainly 2, then you can maybe get some additional pick or additional player somewhere. But yeah, Drake London's my favorite one.
All right, from Matt. Dear Dwayne, Terrell, Braxton, Justin, and JT.
Buckeyes,
yeah. 12-team, 2 quarterback, PPR league, startup dynasty. Quarterbacks get 0.25 per completion. And minus 0.25 for an incompletion. I have pick 112 and 201 and no 3rd-round reversal. So how much or should I value the quarterbacks in this draft? It's a startup dynasty league. I think they're going to run off the board quickly. I'm leaning towards 1 quarterback and best player available with my first 2 picks, but is that risking too much to hope that a quality quarterback falls to me at 312? And again, this is a startup dynasty. This is not a rookie draft, so what are you thinking there in a 2 QB league, Jamie?
I think that's a safe way to go. You know, just depend. When does he draft? Does he know? When does they draft?
He has 112 and 2-1. So back to back at the end of round 1.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to miss out on probably the top 3 or 4 quarterbacks, but you should get one of the top 8, I would think. And the back end of round 1 or pick 201. So I would probably go quarterback best available players. Not bad.
I also wouldn't be shy about quarterback if there's 2 that you really like there, especially if they're younger. I don't know if I'd feel good about it if you're drafting Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, let's say, something like that, I'd probably take just one of those guys and then try and hope for one of the younger quarterbacks in round 3-4.
Yeah, I think you're going to be...
two young guys slip, man. I would jump on that.
I think you're going to be pretty shocked at how good the round 3-4 picks are, the players available at running back and wide receiver. So if you wanted to go quarterback...
But which young guys are you saying, though, Dave? Because, you know, once you get past... like, the young guys are obviously going to be Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa. You're not taking them in the first round.
No chance. I'm
Field or Trey Lance in the first round.
You're hoping that Kyler, Lamar, they make it there. And they might not, but... if they're both there, or if by some miracle Justin Herbert's there, oh my goodness. Starting if with Justin Herbert, there, Kyler
that's
Murray.
That's the easiest no-brainer in history.
Of course it is, but I just want to make sure that that's spoken. What's right. probably more likely is that all five of the young quarterbacks, Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Murray, Jackson, are all gone. So then what's left? Do you actually spend one of those picks on Deshaun, not knowing what his future is going to be like? That could be dicey, but Burrow could be in that mix. Get him for the rest of his career. That sounds pretty good to me.
All right, let's go to Niall from Connecticut. Dear Jesse, Anna, M-I-D-R-E, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Midray?
And King. Who are they? Jesse, Anna, Midray, and King. I have no idea. Something religious, though. 14 team single quarterback PPR league, 3 wide receivers and 2 flex dynasty. I have 101, 104, 202 and 306 in the rookie draft.
Good haul.
I'm not going to read the roster here, but
not this year.
I think it's okay for this year. Eh. 2 of the top 4 picks this year. Including the 01.
I have an offer on the table, giving up 101 and getting 103, 109 and Melvin Gordon. So he's going to take Breece Hall and Zach Wilson. Garrett Wilson. He's a big Jets fan. He has 102 and 103. So he'd be trading to a team and giving him the first 2 picks. He's going to take both Jets, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. And then instead of having 101, he'll have the person emailing us, Niall. So we'll have 103 and 109 and Melvin Gordon. What do you think?
He'll also have 104 because he keeps that.
104, yeah.
If you're dealing with a Jets fan, he's dying to get that 101. You should try and squeeze him for more than 103, 109, and Melvin Gordon. You can tell him to keep Melvin Gordon. What good's he going to do other than, you know, spot starter for this year probably only?
It's a 14-team league. It's, you know, there's some value there.
He carries value, but it's not going to be long-term value, and he can absolutely throw it back in his face saying that this doesn't do anything for the trade. Maybe he should try and get a first next year too, and just really try and fleece him for Breece Hall.
But what if he can't? What if this is the deal? Would you give up pick 101 for 103 and 109?
And you're guaranteed to get Walker at 103, and then you'd be able to get, let's say, Olave or Jameson Williams at 104, whoever you prefer.
So this guy, the guy that he's trading with, is locked into 3 right now?
Yes.
He's got 102 and 103. He wants 101 and 102, yeah.
So
he's got the guy who's trading with has 102 and 103.
Right. And then he wants to trade 103 for 101, and he's going to take Breece Hall.
And the guy that's acquiring that has 101 and 104?
Yep.
So if you're not sold on Garrett Wilson and you want Breece Hall, you know Wilson's going 2 or 3. And if there's somebody else that you want at 4 that you think you're going to get, you know, whether it's Walker or London or whichever receiver you like best, I don't know, I might stay.
Yeah, it just depends how much you want Breece Hall, right? It's like, if you think Breece Hall is so much better, then take Breece Hall.
That's
right?
What it comes down to.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what
That's why if you try and squeeze him, then you'll say, all right, I don't care how good Breece Hall ends up being. I've got this awesome package in exchange for Breece Hall. And that's what you got to do, especially now. Try and squeeze him.
This is from Conrad. Hey, Matt, Tavares, Charlie, Russell, and Drew.
Those are Seahawks quarterbacks.
I'm having trouble.
No Rick, no Dave.
Charlie, who's Charlie? Whitehurst?
Flipboard Jesus, man.
Oh, Charlie Whitehurst? I don't remember him on the Seahawks. Same way I don't remember Priest. Who was it? Was it Deuce Staley? Who the hell was on the Steelers that I didn't remember?
Deuce Staley.
Yeah, I didn't remember him on the Steelers. Anyway, Conrad's from the third largest city in Washington, Dave.
What would that be? Seattle's 1. Tacoma's probably 2. Olympia?
Sure.
I think Charlie was Charlie Fry.
Oh, okay. I'm the commissioner of our long-standing competitive home league. We're expanding from 8 teams to 10 teams next year. To counteract how small our league was, we had big rosters. 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, and 4 wide receivers. 1 tight end, 1 flex. Now that they're going to 10 teams, you know, what do they do? How would you structure the rosters? So right now it's 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs.
Drop 1 running back. Drop 1 running back, drop 1 wide receiver, add a flex. You'll have 1 fewer starter and more flexibility with your lineups.
Add 2 flexes.
But that's the same amount of roster spots.
Yeah, but it's more fun.
Okay. You have 2 different answers there. You decide what to do. But you're definitely going to drop 1 running back and 1 wide receiver. You're either going to add 1 flex or 2 flexes. And it will simply depend on if you like Dave or Jamie better, which is a question that I grapple with every day. So we are out of here. And we'll talk to you tomorrow with our updated running back rankings. And I won't have to speak for Heath. He'll be on the show. Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. Podcast League's full. See you later.
Heath's not on the show tomorrow.
Oh, never mind.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.